We came up the trail from Texas in the spring of 74 and bedded our herd on the short grass beyond the railroad. We cleaned our guns and washed our necks and dusted our hats for town, riding 15 strong to the hitching rail and standing 15 strong to the bar. We were the Tumbling Bee from the rough country of the Big Bend, up the trail with 3,000 head of longhorn steers, the first that spring, although the rivers ran bank full and Comanches rode the war trail. We had buried two hands south of the Red and one on the plains of the Nation. A fourth had died on Kansas grass, his flesh churned under 1,000 tearing hooves. Two men had fallen before Comanche rifles, but the Comanches sang their death songs in the light of a hollow moon, and the Kiowas mourned in their lodges for warriors who fell before the guns of the Tumbling Bee. The town to which we had come was 10 buildings long on the north side of the street, and 7 long on the south, with stock corrals to the east and a boot hill on the west, and in between an edging from the mills of hell. South of the street were the shacks of the girls, and north of it the homes of the respectable businessmen of the town, where no trail driver was permitted to go. We were the riders who drove the beef on which the town's existence was built, fighting dust, hail, and lightning, meeting Stampede and Kiowa Lance, leaving the Comanche dead in his own tall grass. We fought our nameless Alamos and rode to our deaths without a song of glory, nor any memory to leave behind except a hand less at the night guard and an empty saddle in the chuck wagon. We rode the long grass miles where no boundaries were, some riding a day's work for a day's pay, but others filled with their own wild poetry, conscious of the epic they rode. Wild and hard were the men of the Tumbling Bee. Only two of us were past 30, and some not yet 20. We meant money to the girls of the line and whiskey sales to the bartenders. To the merchants, we were lean, brown, young savages whose brief assault on their town was tolerated because of the money we brought. That was the year I was 35, and only the cook was as old as I. It was my fifth trip up the trail. I'd seen this town born from the stock pens and other towns before it. At least one of those towns I'd seen die, leaving only brief scars for the prairie grass to erase. We rode up the trail as before, with Kate Lundy driving her army ambulance alongside the chuck wagon. And when the Kiowas attacked, Kate's buffalo gun boomed an echo to our own. That was the year when young Tom Lundy was 19, as much of a man as any man could wish to be, and he had left no love back in Texas. He was one among us who rode north with a dream, for he wanted a girl, not just one to hold in his arms for a passing hour, but one to whom he could speak in the moonlight, a girl eager for the bright beauty of new love, with ears to listen to the words born of the poetry of life that had awakened within him. And I, who had ridden beside him and seen him grow from the boy he'd been to the man he had become, knew what lay within him. Knew the better because my heart had been singing its own song, and my horse's hooves had drummed a tune to the sound of the same haunting far-off bells. The girl stood on the boardwalk outside the store, and when she lifted a hand to shade her eyes toward us, the sun caught at the red lights in her hair, and her eyes reached out for Tom as he rode up the street. She looked straight at him, with a smile on her face, and at 19 the smile of a strange girl is a glory to the blood and a spark to the spirit, carrying a richer wine than any sold across the bar of a frontier saloon. He'd had no shave for days, and the dust of the trail lay thick on his clothing. But he stepped down from the saddle and walked toward her. She looked at him, a long, appraising look, and then she turned and went inside. The glance she left with him neither promised nor rejected. He had taken his hat off, and now his hair blew in the wind. He stood there, staring, his heart yearning after her. Up the street, John Blake was watching, the black cigar in his teeth, and then his eyes turned to me. He rolled his cigar to the other side of his mouth, then turned away and walked up the street.